You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Victory Monday episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. And look, what I'm excited about, Marquez Callaway, 8 catches, 75 yards today. Y'all gonna hear a lot about it in today's episode. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The Saints get the win on Sunday, hosting the Carolina Panthers. We'll talk about what happened first, recapping the game and an impressive performance by a shorthanded offense. Then we'll talk about the factors that led to this victory for the Saints, including Marquez Callaway, of course, giving the Saints life in the passing game, and of course, another outstanding performance by Alvin Kamara. And then we'll wrap up with a look at the ever-struggling defense. Yes, we can't keep it completely positive for this Victory Monday episode. Should the Saints look to replace Marcus Williams sooner rather than later? I'll give you my thoughts. But as always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host on the Locked On NFL National Show. I've got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints improved to 4-2 on the season with a 27-24 victory, hosting the Carolina Panthers off last week's bye week. We'll go ahead and recap this game for our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So the New Orleans Saints coming into this game, no Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders, and a lot of question marks about how it was that they were going to generate any type of production over on the offensive side. And to answer that, they put together 67 plays on the offense, 415 total yards, 277 of them coming through the passing game, and 138 on the ground. And it was just an unprecedented victory for the Saints, just in terms of being able to come out and churn and produce over on the offensive side, down their top two receiving options, and having another receiving option injured and on move to injured reserve this week as well in Benny Fowler. But all that told, not enough to slow the Saints offense down. They come into this game and open it up with a 14 play, 75 yard drive that took over 8 minutes off the clock, just matriculating down the field and being their usual surgical selves, leading up to a touchdown in the opening drive. The first one of the season, Jared Cook with a nice bobbling catch. You saw the Saints really rely on heavy personnel early on in the game. A lot of two tight end, two running back formations, a lot of sixth offensive line in that opening drive as well. So the Saints just churning their way down the field to open up with the touchdown to Jared Cook, that being their first opening drive touchdown of the season. And we talked a lot about how if the Saints could come out and score a touchdown on their opening drive, it would help to sort of set a pace, set a rhythm, and set a tone for the game on the offensive side moving forward. And that's exactly what they're able to do. Then they come back, they score another touchdown on the patented breeze leap. Marquez Callaway playing a big role in this drive, catching passes for 15 yards, 8 yards, grabbing another one for 14 yards, and then getting another for 10 yards. So he really helped to get the ball down the field in that second drive. Ended up being a red zone possession for the Saints, able to make good on it with a Drew Brees leap, patented, of course, over the defensive line to score the touchdown. Then the Saints defense turns around and gives up a humongous play just 2 yards into this drive, a 74-yard bomb from Teddy Bridgewater to DJ Moore, who just seems to always get one of those plays against the New Orleans Saints. In this one, it all comes down to Marcus Williams. He got looked off the pass, looked off the route by Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater did a great job moving the safety with his eyes and then getting the ball down deep. And then it started to crumble a little bit for the Saints. The Saints losing Teron Armstead during this game to an arm injury. Then you probably has to do with the hand injury that he came in with. And then you had James Hurst come in, who was playing as their sixth offensive line. All of a sudden, you lose a little bit of ability to play those six offensive line sets. You still have Will Clapp, but you felt a little bit more comfortable in those situations with James Hurst. So it really has a ripple effect when something like that happens. And the ripple effect was no more present than when James Hurst got beat off the edge by Brian Burns, who ends up causing a fumble. They caused the turnover, the only turnover of this game. The Saints still having a lot of trouble generating turnovers, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later. The Panthers then turn that into another 7 points, a 7-yard touchdown by DJ Moore, and then they take the lead 17-14. But then the magic happens. Drew Brees, 2-minute drill. There's no better quarterback that does it. The Saints go down 8 plays for 75 yards, only taking a minute and 35 seconds off the clock. And it was a mixture of everything. You had passes go for a couple of yards to Alvin Kamara. You had some big throws from Drew Brees to Deontay Harris, who caught a pair of passes there, 18 yards, then 7 yards. You got a good 22 yarder out of Jared Cook. Then they end up punching the ball in from 4 yards out to complete that 2-minute drive with a touchdown and reclaim the lead. That was a pass from Drew Brees to Deontay Harris, who again was huge on that drive. So they walk into the second half up 21-17. And then just like last week or the week before last, the Saints defense buttons up a bit in the second half, allowing only one score, this time a touchdown in the third quarter, while the Saints add a pair of field goals on another 2-13 play drives. And they end up having to make a hold and make a stand on the defensive side. And just like last time, it was Marshawn Lattimore who was the hero against the Chargers. This time, it was Marcus Davenport. He gets the -1 stop to tackle for a loss on a screenplay on 2nd and 10. Comes back on 3rd and 11 with a beautiful stunt. We talked about how effective stunts were against this Carolina Panthers offensive line. He gets inside, gets matched up with a running back, and then gets after Teddy Bridgewater for the Saints' only sack of the game, -8, pushes them back. And then Matt Rhule, he's a rookie head coach. He's going to make some rookie mistakes. He elects to go for the 65-yard field goal, and Joey Sly comes up just 6 inches short, and it all comes down to that sack and that stop and Marcus Davenport's series of plays right there for the defense. And the Saints get this win to improve to 4-2, 27-24, hosting division rival Carolina Panthers, and now have sole possession of the number 2 spot in the NFC South. Now, I know what you're thinking, Ross. You did not talk nearly enough about Marquez Callaway, but don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. I'm going to be talking all about him here in just a moment. He did end up leaving this game, injured. We'll update that here in a moment. It's good news, thankfully, but Marquez Callaway, fantastic game. Alvin Kamara, fantastic game. We still have a lot of conversation around the defense as well, including what the hell the Saints need to do with Marcus Williams. We'll get to all of that here in just a moment on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. And speaking of Marcus Williams, sometimes it's thanks to a lack of natural athleticism. Sometimes it's commitment. Other times it's overbearing sports parents. But most of the time, fewer than 1% of 1% and of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different. And Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I'm very excited to see what the Saints offense looks like once they get all of the pieces of the puzzle back together, because they have been great despite all of the adversity that they faced so far this season. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Huda Nation, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. As always, if this is your first time catching the show, I appreciate you very much for joining us here at Locked On Saints, being a part of the Huda family, being a part of the Huda Nation. If you've been here for a long time or a little bit of time, whether it's your first or your next, I appreciate you coming through and listening to today's episode. Make sure you subscribe, follow wherever it is that you get your podcast, because I'm here every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yes, that's 5 days a week. Keep you up to date on everything going on with your New Orleans Saints. You don't want to miss an episode as we break down all of these games and preview these games from all these different angles. So let's start off today taking a look over at the offensive side. Then we'll jump to the defensive side here next, where I have some harsh words for an old friend. But let's go ahead and get started here on the positive note. Marquez Callaway, look, we believed in him. We did. We believed in him from the very beginning when he showed up in New Orleans. And a lot of people were talking about Juwan Johnson. But, you know, here at Locked On Saints, we have been fans of Marquez Callaway, and it's just so good. Like, it's not even about being right. It's just so good to see this guy thrive. And he had 8 catches in this game for 75 yards, should have been 9 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. But one of those touchdowns was unjustly ripped from his hands on a really ridiculous pass interference call on Tre'Quan Smith. They called it a pick, even though he was clearly trying to get out of the way of the defender. I don't know. I mean, I think Tre'Quan Smith, even if he wasn't actually trying to get out of the way of the defender, which is more likely, did a very good job selling that. And I don't think that should have been called. And then, of course, they did the whole thing to where they bring in the rules expert, and the rules expert says, well, I don't know, Gil, I don't know, Bill, but that shouldn't have been a penalty. And it's like, stop doing that. Like, stop telling us that it shouldn't have been a penalty unless you're going to change it or do something about it. It's stupid, it's useless, and it just pisses the fan base off, so stop with it. But Marquez Callaway, fantastic game in this one. I wrote an article over at Canal Street Chronicles that dropped on game day in the morning, to where I was talking about how it was that the Saints were going to operate on the offensive side, particularly in the passing game, without Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas. Last week, we saw the Saints play, or the week before last against the Chargers. I'm going to keep doing that, but y'all know what I mean. The last game, they played 31 different snaps without Emmanuel Sanders, and thus without Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders on the field. We saw them lean toward heavy packages. We saw them lean toward the run game. We saw them really rely on Marquez Callaway in those situations, and no different here in this game. We saw a lot of different personnel packages. I counted 14 different personnel packages, which doesn't include any interior rotation within those, right? Like, yeah, maybe they had a three wide receiver set, but one of them, Austin Carr, was in, and another one, Deontay Harris, was in. So that would be yet another personnel, not necessarily grouping, but another rotation of personnel even within that grouping itself. They ran a lot of six offensive line in this one as well. I counted, actually, I can get that number pretty quickly. Thanks to my little spreadsheet here. They count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different plays with an extra offensive lineman on the field. So they really believed in the idea of working with offensive linemen in this one, or additional offensive linemen in this one. And so I really enjoyed seeing that. I think they did a really great job. You saw some of the biggest plays in this game come with heavier packages on the field. Alvin Kamara's 32-yard run came in 11 personnel, but the 25-yard run from Latavius Murray, I believe, was a six offensive line, 11 personnel. You can see an 18-yard pass here with two running backs and two receivers with a tight end on the field. So they really did do all of that, right, in terms of being able to find ways to percolate over on the offensive side and make it work. They were able to do so without Michael Thomas and without Emmanuel Sanders, just like we expected, by using the heavier personnel, by relying on the run game and setting things up with the run game. We saw the boxes get a little bit light, and then once those boxes got light, Alvin Kamara was pume right through them. Same thing with Latavius Murray. They did a fantastic job just manipulating this Carolina Panthers defense this week. They'll need that again next week against the Chicago Bears, but it's going to be a little bit more of a tall task for them. The Saints, one of the big storylines to take away from here, I talked about how third down efficiency could see a hit without those two receivers, and red zone efficiency as well. And I wasn't necessarily dead wrong, but the Saints found a way to make it work anyway. That's really what it was. They were 12 of 14 on third down, and then they were 2 of 3 in the red zone, but they also got a field goal in the red zone. They should have been 3 of 3, but again, that 11-yard touchdown got wiped away just unnecessarily for Marquez Callaway. I will beat that drum all day long. So I really liked what the Saints did and the way that they pulled everything together. And, you know, Drew Brees was able to really rely on Marquez Callaway. He found all of those little pockets in the zones, just like you're used to seeing Michael Thomas usually do within this offense, like you've seen Emmanuel Sanders do a bit more in this offense. And really, the person that Marquez Callaway makes me think of the most is Willie Snead, for that very fact. You can look for him on third down. You can look for him to find pockets in the zone. And if you can get another Willie Snead out of like the best version of Willie Snead that we saw in New Orleans, if you can get another Willie Snead out of Marquez Callaway, that's a hell of a get out of that undrafted free agent class. I don't need him to be the undrafted free agent like, you know, Lance Moore, who can go for over 1,000 yards and things like that. But if he just gives you another viable option on that field, especially when you get Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back, I think you're going to see him continue to get involved in this offense. And that's really what it is that I want to see from Callaway, is just give me another Willie Snead type, the best version of Willie Snead that the Saints had. And I am perfectly happy with that. Drew Brees was outstanding in this game as well. You saw him really lead that 2-minute drill. That was another area where I was a little bit concerned for the Saints, not having Emmanuel Sanders, because the Saints ran 12 different plays within 2 minutes of the first half, as well as the end of regulation against the Chargers. And Emmanuel Sanders was in for 8 of those 12 plays, and he got a lot of attention during those plays as well. But Deontay Harris stepped up. Marquez Callaway stepped up. Traquan Smith stepped up. This is exactly what you want to see. Drew Brees, 29 of 36 in this game, 287 yards and 2 touchdowns. he ended up hitting just about everybody. He completed passes to Marquez Callaway, Alvin Kamara, Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris, Jared Cook, Latavius Murray. Austin Carr caught a pass in this one, and Josh Hill caught a pass for no yards. Taysom and Adam Trautman both also got targets. Adam Trautman with a drop. I really hated to see it. But regardless, you saw a very good game and a steady game from this team, particularly in the passing game, despite the fact that they were down both of their starting options when it came to, or their number one options when it comes to, the receiving game. Alvin Kamara's day ends with 148 total yards from scrimmage. No touchdowns again for the second game in a row, but he had 83 rushing yards, averaging 5.9 yards on the ground per carry. You saw Latavius Murray, 47 yards on the ground, 4.3 yards per carry. This team was able to do whatever it wanted over on the offensive side, and it really just came down to this game being as close as it was because of the defense. And we expected that, right? We talked about maybe this 7.5, 7-point spread isn't really as reasonable as Vegas may make you think that it is or want you to think that it is. And certainly that ended up proving true as the Saints get away here with a 3-point win. But hey, 3-point win, 13-point win, doesn't matter. Fits in the win column all the same. So definitely we will take it. And I think that's the bottom line of this game. The Saints get a win yet again when they weren't supposed to. They were down two starting corners going up against the Detroit Lions. They weren't supposed to win that game. They did. Michael Thomas ends up getting benched for disciplinary issues against the Los Angeles Chargers. Really shouldn't have won that game by most standards, and they did. This game, no Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders. Probably shouldn't have won this game. They turned around and did it. You look at last season, 5 games without Drew Brees, a pair of games without Michael Thomas, a pair of games without Alvin Kamara. They won every single one of them. This team fights through adversity. It's what they do, and they've done it yet again here, and now hold in sole possession the second spot in the NFC South at 4-2. And that's only because the Packers have played an additional game beyond them and are sitting at 5-2 after their win against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. So coming up next, now that we've done all the positive stuff, let's circle it back a little bit, take a look over at the defense. Defense looked good in the second half and adjusted well, but the early portions of this game just really make you feel like there is some drastic move that has to be made. And I'll tell you my idea, and it centers around Marcus Williams. We'll talk about that here in just a moment here on Locked On Saints. Your team every day. Before we get to my take on Marcus Williams and the Saints defense, I want to tell you a little bit about our good friends over at Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. You already know them. You already love them. 12 classic flavors that are fantastic. Coconut, almond, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie. But now they've also got 6 new incredible flavors as well. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. And coming up in just a couple days, you can get Built Minis as well. Little mini Built bars to carry around with you all throughout the day for that quick hit of protein whenever you need it. Let's talk about the coconut almond bar, 18 grams of protein, but only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. These are perfect for your diet, whether you're trying to lose or maintain weight. And right now, along with the rebrand and the relaunch, they've also reset the promo code, and you can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On to get 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, family, wrap it up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Again, the Saints get the big win, improving the 4-2, 27-24 against the division rival Carolina Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater, pretty cool. There was a moment with him to where he had scrambled away from a sack, which we saw a lot of in this game, which we'll talk about here in just a sec. But scrambled away from a sack, ended up throwing the ball away, ran out of bounds, and then ended up sitting down in between Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. And just kind of, you know, it was just a fun little moment and everything. Alvin Kamara loved it. Taysom Hill loved it. Drew Brees loved it. Teddy loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great. So it just goes to show you that, you know, this camaraderie, this friendship is still very much so. You know, Teddy Bridgewater describes his 2 years in New Orleans as the 2 best years of his life. And I think you can see that still with the brotherhood that he holds with all these other guys. So a really cool moment there. You know, we talked about Marquez Callaway. We talked about Alvin Kamara, the outstanding work over on the Saints offense. We have so much left to talk about because there was still a lot over on the offensive side that we didn't really hit on that I will continue to talk about here throughout the week. We'll get into our analytics tomorrow. We can talk a little bit more about the offensive line. But I wanted to jump over to the defense. As much as I would love to keep talking about Marquez Callaway catching 80% of his passes during this game, we have to look over at the defensive side. And there was a lot to be desired left by the defense here yet again here, what, six games into the season now. And I think this week in particular was kind of damning just simply because of the fact that they also had the bye week. They had extra time to get ready and sort of get back to where you expect them to be as a defense. I mean, you look at the names on this defense: Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, Sheldon Rankins, David Onyemata. You got Janoris Jenkins, Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Demario Davis. All of these names are fantastic on paper. And I do think that the front seven improved wildly today and looked really good. There were a couple times where you saw zones in the middle of the field end up opening up, but that had more to do with times to where linebackers were used to bring pressure because they were having the defensive line got a lot of pressure in this game, it felt like, but they just couldn't capitalize on it. They never hit Teddy Bridgewater. They only had the one sack, which came at the best time possible, thanks to Marcus Davenport. And remember what we've always talked about, right? I will take a third down sack in the fourth quarter, down one score or up one score, then I will take that and be more happy with that than I would be with three sacks in the first quarter. Couldn't care less about three sacks in the first quarter, but situationally, give me a third quarter drive ending sack, and I'm sorry, a third down drive ending sack in the fourth quarter from Marcus Davenport. And that's exactly what you got in this game. But one of the things that just continues to be a bit of a bugaboo for this team, and we've seen it, people have said that we've seen it 2014, 15, 16. I would wager to say that we've seen it 2014 through 2020. It has never stopped. It has never changed. This has been an issue. Blown coverages in the secondary. I don't know how much of it is communication. I can't say that things are too complicated for this defense because there's one spot in particular where you just continue to see it. And I have been the biggest supporter of Marcus Williams. Time in and time out, you look at the stats, not even just the stats, but you look at his production over the last few years, and you can see that he has been one of the better safeties in the NFL. But so far this season, he's given up two touchdowns, over 200 yards. He's allowed 90% of passes that he is in primary coverage to be completed. And that was before this game. That was before this game against the Carolina Panthers, where he was, it looks like at this point, before I can look at the all 22, responsible for a 74-yard touchdown to DJ Moore again. We've seen this before. We've seen this movie. We know how it ends. The problem here is that I want to credit Marcus Williams for improving as a tackler because he has. He's cut his missed tackle percentage down half, 50%. He went from 20% to 10% going into this game. We saw one moment to where he and Craig Robertson, I believe it was a touchdown run from DJ Moore, if I remember correctly. They just kind of whiffed on a tackle, surprise, surprise. But when it comes down to what he's improved, it has been his tackling so far this season. But now, The coverage continues to slack. And I'm sorry, if you're going to be a deep free safety, you're not even a single high guy anymore. They've demoted you from that. Dennis Allen and the Saints defense have taken that really away from him. And they've simplified this defense so much for him. Cover half the field. Be a deep safety in a cover two look and a Tampa two look and a cover four look. They've made this really easy for him. And unfortunately, we continue to see the same issues. So if you can't simplify the defense for him, if you can't make it work, if you can't make the right choices, if you can't say, hey, I'm going to take care of this guy that's going deep as opposed to taking care of that guy that's covered in the flat, then there's a problem here. There's a problem here. And I don't know if that problem is. We have to remember that Dennis Allen's responsibility is calling plays, installing the defense. It is the secondary coach's responsibility. It's the position coach's responsibility to teach it, to instill the fundamentals in the team and create the tools and give them the tools that are needed for execution. So you want to point the finger at Aaron Glenn? Sure, point the finger at Aaron Glenn. You can't point the finger at Dennis Allen. I'm sorry, you can't do it because what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to fire him? And then what? And then promote Aaron Glenn to your defensive coordinator who's going to do the same thing that Dennis Allen is doing? Then where do you go? Are you going to hire a new defensive coordinator and try to change over the defense halfway through the season? Good luck. Hello, 7-9. It's not going to work. You know what I mean? So as much as I don't mind and will point the finger at Dennis Allen when the time is appropriate, which is this coming offseason, which I will be very happy to do that. But right now, you have to look at the position coaches and you have to look at the players. And right now, if I'm looking at Marcus Williams, I'm thinking bench him. That's right. I said it. I'm thinking bench him. And I'm saying this right now before I've had time to go through and watch the All 22, before people have had the opportunity to write articles that might change my mind. I'm telling you what I'm feeling right now. Might not feel the same way later on in the week, and that's okay because
I want you to know I feel the same way that you do. DJ Swearinger was inactive today. Put DJ Swearinger in that role and just see. Just see if he does any better. You got a trade deadline coming up. You've got teams that are floundering all over the NFL right now, particularly over in defense. See if you can get one of those safeties off him. I will pound the table all day long for Marcus May out of the New York Jets. He hasn't given up perfect passer ratings. He has given up a passer rating of over 100 yards. I think it's around 112, but it's better than 120. He's given up 3 touchdowns, but he's got an interception and a couple of pass defenses. That's better than 2 touchdowns and 1 interception with no pass defenses. I will take that. I will take a guy like Marcus May, who's going to continue to be cheap for the next couple of years, as opposed to Marcus Williams, who's going to come up for a new contract next year. So how quickly do you move on from him? Do you feel like he's somebody that is going to be detrimental to your team for the rest of this season? If so, make a move. I don't care if it's benching him for DJ Swearinger. I don't care if it's making a trade to get somebody else in there. But I have been upfront from the very beginning that I don't see Marcus Williams on this team next year simply because I believed he was going to get paid too much elsewhere. But now there might be other factors. There might be other factors that keep him from being a New Orleans Saint next year. I never give scathing reports on players. It's not something that I do. But at this point, what we've seen from Marcus Williams, it's simply not enough. It's simply not enough. Now, I'll go back. I'll watch the film once it comes out. I'll read the articles as people write them and publish them to try to make us feel better about Marcus Williams. I will. And probably I'll lighten up my disposition a bit throughout the rest of the week. But I'll tell you why, if that is the case. You know what I mean? If I can't find a reason why, I'm still here with you. I'm all about seeing them do something in this situation. And for me, it means bench Marcus Williams, trade for Marcus May, see what happens. That's where I stand. That's my official stance at this moment on this Monday episode of Locked On Saints. We got a lot more to talk about in recapping this game. We'll look at the analytics tomorrow. We'll take a look on Wednesday at the film as well. Do a film watch Wednesday. Look at 3 of the most impactful plays from the game. Break those down. You can follow along on Game Pass. It's a ton of fun. We have a good time here. Thursday, we'll start looking ahead to the Saints traveling to Chicago to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. And so we got all that coming up for you here all throughout the week here on Locked On Saints. Don't miss it. Don't miss an episode, y'all. It's about to be a very fun week here. The Saints 4-2, second place in the NFC South, 27-24 victory. Great job. I'll take it. I'll take it. We'll continue to track all the other stuff that's going on too. I know PFT just can't keep the Saints and Michael Thomas off their minds. And that's really cute. I think it's sweet. All right, y'all. That's going to do it for today's episode. I'll holla at you tomorrow. Thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Hootat Nation. I'll holla at you.